Your ass better call somebody.
When you pull back the curtain, look under the hood.
You gotta give it that fuck good. Spent all that night here.
I'm like, I'm good. Like, I'm out.
I just came for the boobies.
Hey, what's poppin', everybody?
You're Mr. Feel Good. I'm Mr. Shit on Everyone's Hopes and Dreams.
I want to thank me for believing in me.
Often imitated, never replicated.
It's the balance of life, my friend.
I'd like to take this time to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Don't fuck this up. Count on you.
Everybody, welcome back into the 4D Chess Dynasty Football Podcast. So glad you can join us. We are back. Back at it again. I'm joined, as always, by my good bud, Mr. Matty Keel. What's up, Matty? How you doing tonight, bud?
Doing good, my friend. I'm excited to be back. You know, we're at that boiling point where the pro days are just about wrapped up. Speaking of which, right after the pro days are all set, give us the weekend. We'll have a update for you in the rookie guide, so you make sure you're getting the South Harmon rookie guide over at southharmonff.com. We're going to have all the updated 40 times and stuff, but you know, we're just kind of waiting here. We're a month away from the draft. There's a lot to play out, but I think we're starting to be able to read between the tea leaves, and that's something we can, you know, maybe take to our advantage in Dynasty.
It is. It's kind of an interesting time here, especially for me when I go through my process. We're wrapping up the last few film sessions. Patreon.com/South Harmon if you want to join in on those, catch them on the replay, or catch them live on Thursday nights, 8 Central, every Thursday night. We only got a few more left, Matty. We're less than a month from the NFL draft. It felt like this flew by. You talked about it. Pro days are wrapping up, and we're down to just some private workouts, teams kind of jostling, getting their boards all straight. But Matty, we do got a little bit of free agency news that we can kick off the show with. We had a couple of signings here today, right before we recorded on Tuesday night. Let's start with your New England Patriots, Matty. You got a wide receiver. It's not the one we all predicted would be in New England. It's not even the second one we all predicted or they tried to go get in New England. It is 31-year-old coming off a torn ACL in week 8, Stephon Diggs for a 3-year, $69 million contract. I did see 26.5, something like that, is fully guaranteed. So also, we know those numbers are also very deceiving. We just look at the final line and go $69 million for Stephon Diggs, but just by that guaranteed number, it also kind of screams when the full contract details come out that they could probably get out of it after a year if it ain't a thing and not be that much worse for wear. But you, as a resident New England Patriots fan, what do you think about the Pats signing Stephon Diggs, Matt?
I mean, as a fan, I love it because I am just a huge fan of Stephon Diggs. I just, you know, I already know, I'm already getting myself ready that once the jersey hits the fan store, your boy's picking it up, no doubt about it. I do love Stephon Diggs. Now, from a football sense, it just, at the end of the day, they need some playmakers on that side of the ball. They need veterans. They need the players that tend to push development. And Stephon Diggs may be long in the tooth now. Like you mentioned, 31, going to be 32, coming off of an injury. He did, you know, he was front row seat, ready to rock for Josh Allen's kind of ascension. Once that pair linked up, that's when we saw Josh Allen kind of take those steps. I'm not giving Diggs credit for it, but I do think that when those type of receivers meet up with a quarterback, they can kind of hit that next level. We saw it with A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts. We saw it with D.J. Moore and Justin Fields, that they can elevate these quarterbacks a bit. I'm hoping he can to some extent. But really, at the end of the day, the Patriots are king. Or not king, but they subscribe very, very heavily to the incentive-laden deals, the up-to type deals. I mean, even Milton Williams signed that massive contract, and when the details came out, it was not nearly as massive as it seemed when he first put pen to pad, and the reports hit Twitter and the fantasy football verse. So what I'm assuming is that the $26 million guarantee, they're in for a year, maybe two, and at that point, it's fine. Because at the end of the day, my friend, we all know who wide receiver one's going to be in New England next year. Travis mother effing Hunter, baby.
Speak it into existence, my friend. I don't mind it, too. Like, when I really look at it, and you see that $26 million, that was the actual number of guaranteed. Like, I mean, Mac Hollins is out here getting money. You know what I mean?
Right.
Mac fucking Hollins is getting a contract. Remember a few years ago, too, when Christian Kirk signed, like, a $20 million a year deal? And we're like, what the hell? Right? Like, turned out okay for him. Obviously wasn't coming off an ACL or, you know, 31 going on 32 at the time. Right. But Mike Williams still garnering contract offers to this day, and he hadn't been good for years. He hasn't been good for a while.
Gabe Davis got three at 39 a year ago. You know,
yeah, they're going to pay wide receivers, right? Mm-hmm. It's a supply and demand. They needed one. I also don't think, like you mentioned, this precludes them from taking one, if not two more, in the draft this upcoming year, which would be completely fine. You bring in a veteran like Diggs, and listen, I know the injury is going to be in a lot of people's minds. We don't know how he's going to recover from it, but I imagine if they're willing to shell out, you know, $26 million, they feel pretty confident in it. He feels pretty confident in it. I saw reports that he was ahead of schedule, and I know it's usually BS at this time of the year, but there's some workout videos out there where injury doctors on Twitter are talking about how he's looking pretty damn good. He actually might be ahead of schedule on his ACL recovery. And last year before he got hurt, I know we're going to talk about his production dip and, you know, playing with Tank Dell and Nico Collins, and that Texans offensive line was horrible, and C.J. Stroud regressed, and Diggs' counting stats looked terrible. But the one thing he was still doing last year, getting open at will, just like he has his entire career. So for a young developing quarterback, that's not the worst thing. Bring in a veteran presence at the wide receiver position. I don't know how excited I'm going to be about it for Dynasty, like for Diggs in general. Right. Like, it's still something that you're going to, you know, only as a contender roster this guy. And it's because you got him as a throw-in or kind of cheap. You're going to value him in that probably wide receiver 40 to 50 range, really, in Dynasty, which sounds absurd, but then go look at how many good wide receivers there are and tell me you got a case for Stephon Diggs over some of these guys. So I don't mind it. And especially if they go out and they do land Mr. Travis Hunter as the number one option, wheels still up. Wheels still up for him. And we also don't know how the young wide receivers they had last year are going to develop going into their second year. Now, most of the time, we can say this, if you're a face planner at the wide receiver position as a rookie, Javon Baker and Jalen Polk, not a very good outlook for your long-term dynasty success, but we've also seen dudes who've done absolutely nothing all of a sudden, you know, turn it on and become actually something usable. So all in all, my biggest takeaways from this, glad Diggs found a home. I think it's nothing but good for Drake May and his development, and I don't think it should change anybody's opinion about what the Patriots may or may not do in this upcoming draft. I don't think they're washing their hands going, problem solved at the position. We're done.
Right.
We're good.
Absolutely not.
But I think they're still going to do their due diligence, Maddie, and rightfully so.
That's correct. They have to. And, you know, you mentioned the young guys. I think it's also a good point that they're sitting on their couches right now knowing that they got to show up to camp and compete. They're showing, you know, maybe they were going to take tomorrow off from the gym. Now they're not. Maybe they were going to use the jugs machine tomorrow afternoon. Now they will. You know, this is just one of those things that, you know, Vrabel is going to push, especially these young kids that haven't done shit in the NFL, that he wasn't a part of bringing onto the team. So he doesn't have loyalty to them. So he brings a guy in like Diggs. And, you know, Diggs has had his problems. You know, a buddy of mine was saying that, you know, his perfect nickname is Problem Child. Because you remember that clip that surfaced with him and Vikings? No one wanted their daughter to date Diggsy. So, you know, he does have like his whatever you want to call them. I call it swag. You know, I just call it just being a fucking alpha. Like, you do alpha dog shit.
Being him.
That's going to permeate. That's going to push guys. That's going to let people know that, you know, they mean business. And Drake May, just because he was drafted the same year as Jalen Polk and Javon Baker, he's not going to look at those guys and be like, I'm with you. No, he's going to be quite happy to throw to a wide open Diggs when, like you said last year, he was still able to get some separation and get open when he needed to. So I like the move for him. I think it's pretty smart. Now, in Dynasty, though, you got to find, you got to look around. Who's the Pats fan? Who's the Pats fan? Stephon Diggs for a third? Done. Let's put it in a bow. Let's wrap it up. You know, at this point with this draft, you know, you kind of want to start getting liquid a little bit, get those picks, start kind of getting a little funky. Because who knows, maybe we do see 28 running backs come off the board in this draft. You're going to want to get those late seconds. You want to get to gobble up some thirds. So you got to find that Pats fan. Go find the Tom Brady jersey. Go, hey, Stephon Diggs, New England. You want to make a little dealio?
I'm completely fine if I'm a contender right now rostering Diggs.
If you're contending, it's fine.
It's completely fine if I have him, right? Yeah. Ideally, I'd love to have, you know, like Drake May in a best ball as like my QB 2 or 3 or 4. Because I'm a psychopath and sometimes I have way too many quarterbacks. And then, like, go actively acquire Diggs for the cheap, like on the cheap if I can, right? Like, trade away that third round pick, you know, give up a little liquidity just to add it as a speculative play. But if I'm not in a contending position and you want to buy Stephon Diggs, I know when you say, oh, I'll trade him for, you know, the 302 in this class, people would be like, that could be nothing. That could be absolutely nothing. Or, you know, like the old. The old Family Guy beep.
Yeah, you know? It could be a boat.
It could be a boat. The mystery box could be a boat. No, it's not so much like I'm thinking about what I'm going to pick at the 302. It's just the fact that that's what's in high demand right now. And that's what's going to be in high demand for the next month plus. And everybody's going to want those picks, those mystery boxes. So I want that liquidity. And I can buy back into something like Stephon Diggs much later and probably just as cheap, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's not going to cost me very much to buy that same kind of profile for a team if I am thinking about competing when we get to August and September. So if you got Stephon Diggs right now and you're not like a locked-in super contender, shop him around, right? His name's in the news cycle. It's funny how this goes, too. Like, all of a sudden, he comes to the forefront. 2 weeks ago, nobody wanted him.
Right.
Now you might have a few suitors. I'm not going to say it's going to be the whole league, but you might have a few suitors. So I'm very comfortable if I have him and I'm a contender, I'm probably keeping him. If I have him and I'm not a contender, hey, who wants Stephon Diggs? Give me that 301, 302.
Yeah.
Shit, I'll do backflips if I can get any kind of mid to late second in this class upcoming. Like, that's perfect. Perfect flip. So I think it's completely fine. But yeah. Little bit of an arrow up for me for Drake May, but I'm a resident Drake May stan. I think I might stand for Drake May even more than you as the Patriots fan, which is it's saying something. That's your boy. You got a Drake May jersey yet, by the way?
I don't have a Drake May jersey.
What the hell are you doing?
Listen, it might be a little bit because of the number. You know, it was a Mac Jones jersey 2 years ago. You know, we'll see what happens, but. I'm also a big believer in getting the jerseys of the players that I have in fantasy. I don't have much Drake May. Maybe if that changes, I'll get it. Maybe I will have to get me a little onesie twosie Drake May Stephon Diggs combination.
Do you also remember, like, yeah, this is less than a month ago, I think this happened, Maddie, and I was laughing because I'm an Eagles fan. You're a Patriots fan, obviously. Yeah. But I was seeing there were reports the Patriots are inquiring about trading for A.J. Brown. And all the people that were saying it were affiliated some way with the Patriots. There wasn't a single fucking Eagles beat reporter being like, no. Eagles are looking to trade A.J. Brown. So I think it's just another nail in that coffin. Like, where the hell did this come from? Somebody just spit it into the ether and said, here, A.J. Yeah, Brown.
What? What probably happened is, you know, these beat reporters here in New England, they have their sources, their towel boy contact, their equipment manager, whoever it is, and they were hounding them. You know, what did they do in receiver? Well, I heard they asked about AJ Brown, and I'm sure the phone call went like this: "Hey, what's going on, Howie? Hey, how you doing? I'm a little hungover from the Super Bowl. AJ Brown, click."
You're just calling to check up about AJ. You didn't even get the Brown part out.
Yeah, right. Hey, does AJ still like the read on the click? Over.
Yeah, we're
like,
good.
There was no way that got far. Like, no way. Because at this point, if you're the Eagles, you're not getting the fourth overall pick. No. Like, are you moving AJ Brown for like the 38th pick? No, you're not.
I doubt it. Highly, highly, highly doubt it. No, not with what he does for that offense and coming off a Super Bowl.
Right. Yeah. And he's, what, 28, 27? Like, I mean, yeah.
It ain't happening.
He's still got it. That's asinine.
It ain't happening with Stephon Diggs getting 3 years, 69 mil.
No.
Like, we good.
Well, I mean, it's also, and I know this isn't about dynasties, it's about the Patriots, but it's an echo of how difficult it's been to get these receivers up here. Calvin Ridley chose Tennessee. Yeah. DK chose Pittsburgh. All the free agents chose elsewhere. They just weren't coming to New England. They had to overpay for a guy that had some blemishes on the profile.
Which a lot of them, when you start digging into it, like, you kind of understand why. Like, you understand a little bit of what's going on. I think a lot of it is when they look at it, as much as Drake May is probably enticing, the offensive line situation is not as of yet. Like, the complete team is not quite there yet. And then also, it's, you know, it's fucking Boston when you got to play that in the winter.
Like, yeah, well, I mean, DK went to Pittsburgh.
But I'm still saying, like, I watch a lot of Pittsburgh games. It doesn't seem to snow there in the winter as much as it does every damn memory I have of, like, a Boston game, a Patriots game in December. Feels like 6 feet of snow. Or the fact that they also have to play at Buffalo, and it always seems like they play at Buffalo when there's 60-mile-an-hour winds, and we're going to have 6 passing yards for the game. The ball goes backwards as soon as it leaves your hands. So maybe that's something. Like the Chris Godwin thing, even though the Patriots are like, we're going to throw a shit ton of money at him, no state income tax in Florida?
Yeah.
Tampa? Like, I ain't leaving.
That is sick. And I think a lot people forget, it's not Boston. You are in Foxborough, Massachusetts. That's not Boston. I can say it is unequivocally not Boston.
Okay, that's fine. It's the same shit. It's in Massachusetts.
What I'm saying is, if your view of Boston as a city isn't so fun, dumb that down considerably, and that's Foxborough, Massachusetts.
Even worse.
The biggest attraction there is a pretty cool Bass Pro Shop.
Ooh, hey, don't hate on the Bass Pro Shops.
Oh, dude, I'll take my kids to Bass Pro as like a mini Disneyland. Like, wow, look at the fish! Oh, wow.
So we're Cabela's around here in the Midwest, but I still fuck with Bass Pro Shops too. You know, if you get the chance,
Cabela's is the shit. I got my cowboy boots from Cabela's down in
Texas. Let's ride. That's exciting. Whites at it again. Exciting whites at it again. Maddie, another free agency news. Jameis Winston season is now over. That was a fun 4 days or 5 days, whatever the hell that was. Since like Friday. Since Friday. We didn't even make it that long. Russell Wilson signed with the Giants. And a contract that says 1 year, we're paying you a shit ton of money. Figure it out. Either you're it or we're all fired anyways.
We're all going to Jameis and he's going to light it up.
So let me ask you first, from the NFL draft standpoint, New York was a popular place for one Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, if he happened to fall, at pick 3. Now with 3 quarterbacks on the roster under contract that they all gave contracts to this year, within the last 2 months.
Right.
Does it kind of feel like maybe they're not taking quarterback at 3? Like, that's
I don't think they're going to have the chance to.
You think they're both gone?
I think what happened was, and this is why I love draft season, is you get to read between the tea leaves. There was a report from Todd McShay last week, about this time last week, that the buzz for the Browns and Shedeur was getting loud, loud, loud. Then you pair that up with yesterday's Cam Ward's pro day. And did you see the presence of the Tennessee Titans versus the Giants versus the Browns? The Browns sent one coach who was an alumni of Miami. That's it. The Titans brought their president, vice president, football, GM, directors of scouting, head coach. They're taking Cam Ward. So there's one quarterback off the board. And now if you're the Browns, like, you can't sit and be, you can't lay victim. You can't be held hostage by this Deshaun Watson contract. And what I thought, and I put it in my mock 3.0 that you can get at southharmonff.com, I had the Giants taking Shedeur, but I didn't do trade. So in my mind, I'm like, I think the Giants are going to overpay to get to 2. And the Browns are just going to get an offer that they cannot refuse, and they'd move back. Now, after seeing this kind of play out, And I've seen Giants fans already trying to tell themselves the fib of, well, they weren't in. They weren't ready to pay Shador, the third overall pick. They weren't going to take him because they don't believe in him. Well, I think that you can, again, read the tea leaves. It would suggest otherwise, considering they've had a strong presence at every single Colorado game. He's been, every time you see Daboll at anything that Shador has been at, they are any, they were shoulder to shoulder. Remember that clip of Shador playing catch with neighbors in New York City?
Yep.
They wanted Shador, and
he had the Giants cleats on. Yeah, the Giants cleats on for the bowl game.
Yes, and now you're hearing that the Browns are going to take him. Now Shador is saying that he only plays with the Browns in Madden. You're getting all of these cryptic messages, and don't forget at the NFL Scouting Combine, the Cleveland Browns official Twitter account tweeted pictures of both Cam Ward and Shador Sanders at their podium, and it said the future's bright in the NFL. So the media was telling us that they were in on Ward. They were telling us that they were in on both. And now I think they've honed in on Shador. I mean, you bring a guy like Shador, he's going to bring the moxie. He's going to bring the primetime swag. He is going to be a jersey seller. It's worth taking. And then you match Shador up with Kevin Stefanski, who's had such a history of getting pocket passers to win football games and excel statistically, performance, all that stuff. I think he could do wonders with the Shador Sanders. And then you take the whole Kenny Pickett thing. Clearly, they weren't looking at Pickett to be their starter. They had plans elsewhere. Another tea leaf, Myles Garrett on the NFL Network last week, saying that part of the reason why he signed was he was comfortable with what the QB situation was going to be. Doesn't sound like a Jameis Winston signing to me. It sounds like they were letting him know, I think we're going to key in on Shador. I think he's going to be our pick here at 2. And now all of a sudden the Giants are sitting there. Do they go Jackson Dart at 3? They can't. Not with Shador, not with a dual card, probably going to be on the board for them.
Yeah, it definitely says for the Giants, right? Russ is going to be our guy. And the more this has sunk in over the last couple hours and have been able to digest it and looking at the fact that they paid Tommy DeVito, you know, just to come back, which kind of felt like, hey, this is a guy who's been in the organization, been in the system, kind of a fan favorite. This is like, this is a bridge guy, right? That's what it initially felt like. And then they signed Jameis, and I'm like, well, maybe they didn't feel as good about their bridge guy. And maybe they're going to have Jameis kind of be that, eh, let's get up, you know, let's get excited, but we're going to draft a rookie, and, you know, Jameis is kind of going to be that guy. And now they bring in Russ, and they pay him $20 million to do it. Right. That says, yeah, we're good. Like, I think you're right. I think they know they're not getting one of the top two quarterbacks, and their pick is down to, right now, it looks like Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter.
That's right.
And it really feels like it's going to be Abdul Carter. Really feels like it's going to be Abdul Carter, but
which would create a sick front. That would be a sick passing rush.
Absolutely nasty. But I'm not going to rule out the fact that some of these offensive tackles have been rising up very fast. I know Membo is getting a lot of pub right now, maybe as the first tackle off the board. So you could also see something like that at pick 4 instead and kind of really shock us. So let's talk about this then. Everybody was super excited when we had the allure of Jameis to Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you, Russ to Malik Nabers isn't that bad either, right? Russ made George Pickens have his best fantasy season ever, right? I know I'm a big Justin Fields truther, and Pickens did okay with Justin Fields. I was more Justin Fields running the football from a fantasy perspective that made him so good. But when they came in with Russ at quarterback, Pickens started to feast, and Pickens started to feast with absolutely nobody across from him. I mean, his next best wide receiver, what, Calvin Austin?
That's right.
Calvin Austin? You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Pickens was that guy. Malik Nabers, Russ, could make some beautiful music together. They really could. We could see just an absolute repeat of, listen, if it's Daniel Jones or Russ, I'll take Russ at this point. As much hate as I like to give Russ, that's a quarterback upgrade.
Or Drew Locke or Tommy DeVito. Like,
major upgrade.
Those bums. He's going to be fine with Russ. And the system that Daboll has always run is separation, 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 fine separation. That's why Wandale Robinson had 100 catches on an ADOT of -0.5 because he was open in the line of scrimmage. That's what he preaches. Malik's getting hope. Russ is going to hit him.
He's going to feed him. And you're going to get some moon balls down the sideline.
It's not a bad moon ball. Worked for Tyler Lockett for many, many years.
You can get some moon balls. I don't think it's that bad. I think Russ now becomes a pretty interesting contender buy at the super flex position. It's still Russell Wilson, so it should be a massive, massive discount. Right? Oh, yeah. People are going to hate him. But we're talking about somebody who's going to cost in the range of, what, 24 to 30? Like, that's kind of where he's going to fall in dynasty ranks for a lot of people.
Yep.
You're way back in QB2, and we're already talking QB3 territory. Yeah. Yeah, sign me up for a little Russ. A little Russell Wilson action, man. What would you say right now? Like, if you're a contender, thinking about the upcoming season, people making Russ available because his name's in the news cycle, what are you comfortable paying right now? Like, in draft capital, what rookie pick are you saying, I'd rather just take the shot on this quarterback who's starting in 2025?
So looking at it through, I'm going to kind of paint the whole picture. If I'm a contender, I have a late second, I'm willing to give that up for Russ. If I need quarterback, if I'm going into the year with, like, if I was just betting on J.J. McCarthy being my number two, or if just something hasn't panned out that I thought would, if I just need some starting points, some points in my lineup as a contender, I'd be giving up my second round for Russ. Because I'm with you. I think that he's going to get a majority of the season if he's healthy, because at the end of the day, the Jameis experiment to me was either you're going to back up Shador, or you're just going to come in when this is over, when the ship's done, and we can give our fans something fun to, you know, something fun to watch. Because that's what it read to me. I never thought that he was going to be the game changer. I figure Russ is on the field as long as he's healthy and pushing the offense at least forward.
I could definitely get behind that, Matty. I would say with me right now, let's just hypothetically say I'm a contender and I had the 206. I'm already strongly considering just blowing that pick on Jalen Milroe anyways at the quarterback position.
That's right.
Because the upside is super, super tantalizing if it hits. But I also recognize the fact this could be a complete zero. It could be a Kellen Mond situation very, very quickly. So if that's the case, Jesus, give me Russ. Give me Russ at that point, right? Like, he's a starter. Throwing to Malik Nabers. Not the worst thing in the entire world. And Daboll got the most he could out of shitty-ass Daniel Jones. Like, he really did.
It's true.
He got enough out of him where they decided they wanted to pay him. And that didn't work out so well. So, yeah, I don't mind this Russ thing, and I don't think it affects Neighbors whatsoever. But the big news, Matty, you touched on it. I touched on it. Sitting here, the longer I think about it, I don't think the Giants are taking a quarterback. I don't even think if Shador Sanders is available at 3, they would pull the trigger on a quarterback. I think they look at it and go, this is what we're rolling with. This is what we're doing, and we're going to try to build the team around. Because it may be a case where Joe Shane says, you know what? This may be a lost year for us. I'm going to put the pieces around. I feel like I have enough job security for one more year. I can go get the coach that I want. If Daboll doesn't turn this thing around this year, I can get an offensive tackle or a stud defensive player, and I'm right back in the mix next year for, by all accounts, at least in my opinion, a much bigger prize if Arch Manning puts it all together and becomes Arch Manning. And Arch Manning in New York, the number one overall pick, his uncle, Eli, I mean,
legacy,
come
man.
On.
Legacy.
Another Manning in New York. Coach, quarterback of the New York Giants. I like it. Matty, one other thing that you touched on at the beginning. Cam Ward. And reading the tea leaves. And the Titans really feel like over this last month are honing in on Mr. Cam Ward. Mm-hmm. It feels really good to have moved him to my 101 in Superflex rookie rankings.
Yes, sir.
About 2 months ago. That's really good. Everybody else is starting to catch up. Welcome to the club. I've been driving this bus for a while.
Yeah.
But you too, sir, I saw on Twitter there was a little bet that you placed last year for Cam Ward to be the number one overall pick, care of our good friend Cody Carpentier.
That's right.
Tell the people about it, Matty. You're going to be cashing out some money here pretty soon, it sounds like.
I mean, big time money, $32. But I only bet two. I don't bet one because I'm terrible.
$32.
Not a good bet. Don't take my betting advice.
That's like one night out at Chipotle.
But here's a way to spin it. It's not enough money that I don't have to tell my wife about it.
Oh, I like that.
I gotta tell my wife.
Yeah.
$32. I can spend it myself. I don't know what it's gonna be. Probably good just call. Edibles, but that's fine.
Neither here.
I love edibles. But yeah, we were going through it right after the draft last year. We were together and we were just talking about different players. Like I put one on Hunter. I put one on Shador. I put one on James Pierce. James Pierce was actually one of the betting favorites at the time. And he said something about Cam Ward. Cam Ward, you know, was it a Sacred Word University or
Incarnate Word?
Incarnate Word, and then Wazoo, and then Miami. You know, the progression was there. And he was like, yo, put a little on Cam Ward. I did. And it's starting to work out. And now I would imagine we're going to start seeing like the minus 500s and minus 650s that he goes 101. I think it's only a matter of time.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I think it's going to happen. I think he's the favorite right now. Pro day, by all accounts, was very, very good. Plus, you got that wow throw. You got to have that wow throw. That Zach Wilson moment.
Did you see the person that had the audacity to say how much effort he put into that ball? You know, 55? Yeah. I was like, is that what effort looks like to you?
I did.
That's what it looked like.
I may have put that post or that tweet into the Discord.
It deserves to get roasted. I mean, hey.
I also saw somebody saying that I've watched this tape. It looks like he's got to put, you know, like Uncle Rico level effort into all of his throws, every single one of them. And I'm like, I feel like we're watching very different tape. Like, what tape? High school? Like his sophomore year of high school? Like, I bet he really had to struggle.
Does he also not get the reference? Uncle Rico, when he threw, he just flicked his wrist. There was zero effort to the throw.
No effort.
I threw the ball over the mountains.
Over the mountains.
He threw the stake, it was like... Like flicked his wrist.
I watched Cam Ward throw the football, and it's a thing of beauty. It's an absolute thing of beauty. It's so pretty. Good. Effortless, flick of the wrist, launched. Just piss missiles. And if you don't believe me, go watch him throw the football versus Shador Sanders. Not talking about, you know, talent or accuracy or anything like that, because Cam Ward has his warts. Just telling me which one looks prettier, right? Yeah. Which one's got that mustard on it.
One of them's got that.
What's that? What do they say down in New Orleans? That lamb, y'all. Got that lamb.
Got that. Let me ask you this though, Mike. You're sitting there with a 101. I mean, it's a lock. If Cam Ward goes 101, which we all expect he is, he's the 101 lock consensus. No longer Jinty's in the picture. You possess the 101. Someone comes asking you for it, and they have, let's just say, every quarterback. From last year's class.
They got good quarterbacks. They got J.D., they got Drake May, they got Caleb Williams.
Who are you, where are you putting Ward in, you know, in conjecture with the 24 class?
Oh, right now, if I were to put it, him and J.J. McCarthy are tied. That really hasn't changed for me from about a month.
So you have, which way you have J.D.?
So it's going to be J.D. for sure. Yeah. Then I'm going to go a little bit of a shocker to some people. I prefer Drake May over Caleb Williams. Yeah.
That's fine.
People may have Caleb over. The Ben Johnson thing swayed me a little bit, but I'm still a big Drake May believer, and we saw with the rushing. I know that he will run the football. Yeah. Caleb did it some last year, but he also showed a propensity for spinning in circles and then taking 20-yard sacks. So
he likes the loop-de-doos. He does like the whoop-de-doos.
He does some whoop-de-doos. So those are my three.
Yep.
And then here's where the interesting one starts. Bo Nix had a hell of a year. Absolutely hell of a year. Surprised me a lot. And I don't know if this is just me still having a little bit of take lock on it, right? A little bit from last year. I got a shit ton of Bo Nix. If I'm sitting there, Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, and incoming Cam Ward are razor thin. Like, this is the tier. As much as I love Michael Penix, he's in a tier below. As much as I like Shador Sanders, he's in a tier below. It's those three guys. And I really, man, if I had to rank them, Maddie, they're definitely going to be in a tier. But when I tell you if I rank them, you know, 4, 5, and 6.
Right.
I'd probably end up right now if I did 100 drafts with 33% exposure on each of them. Because there's going to be certain ones where I go, damn, I really want a Bo Nix on this one. Like, I'm going to see if I can't land a, you know, Cortland Sutton in this best ball league later. Or I'm going to take a J.J. McCarthy because I might try to pick up a, you know, Jordan Addison. Or pair it with a T.J. Hockenson if I can get him late enough. Something like that. And then there's the Cam Ward thing. And I just flat out love Cam Ward. I will say right now, I'm sure a lot of people are going to prefer Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy ahead of Cam Ward. But I'm willing to bet once he actually does go number one overall, and we start to get these earlier rookie drafts going, right, and you see him climb, the hype and everything within the war room, when you see those behind-the-scenes footages of, like, we can't wait to make this pick, you know, we're so excited, and it gets in everybody's feeling, Cam Ward might be the most valuable out of all of them. Right, in dynasty value. Come, you know, June 1st, Cam Ward might be ranked the highest on keep trade cut out of all of them because it's the new shiny thing. I don't know if the other two really have that opportunity. JJ still got a lot of question marks around him, a lot of detractors within the space. And Bo Nix is really depending on what the Broncos do in the draft to get him some help. Because if they don't end up doing anything at, you know, pick 20, they don't do anything with their second round pick. Like, everybody, you know, Sean Payton wants this, and Sean Payton wants this, and Sean Payton's going to do this, and it's going to be Ted, or it's going to be Amarian Hampton, or it's going to be Travion Henderson, or whoever's being mocked there at that time. If they end up not doing anything, and they're like, we gave you Evan Ingram.
this is all you get. Malachi Starks at 20.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of wah, wah, wah. Damn it. We're running this shit back with just Cortland Sutton. Right. Just Cortland Sutton.
Really? Weren't you trading all your seconds to get Devon Bailey a year ago? Yeah. You're happy about that.
Yeah, I forgot we kind of bashed somebody for doing that. But yeah, if it's like, man, we hope Marvin Mims continues this progression. We really believe in him. So we didn't do shit in the draft to really help Bo Nix out. It's like, what? Why? Why would you do that to us? So there's a possibility he could fall. But also, if they end up landing, you know, Tyler Warren, or if they end up landing Tet McMillan or Luther Burden or, you know, Matthew Golden or whoever, like, they do something in the draft to really help that offense out, Bo Nix could be the most valuable out of all of them because, hey, look what he did last year with Turd Burgers, right? Now look what he's going to do, like the projection's going to be. So I think there's a case for all three of them. The only one I would say probably doesn't really have that, like that rise is J.J. McCarthy. Like, just not yet. We're not going to get that J.J. McCarthy rise until we get to the preseason and you watch him deal to, like he was last preseason, deal to Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and T.J. Hockenson and whatever else they do in the draft. Then you're going to go, fuck, that's that guy. That's the guy. He's just right, a little bit more of a delayed fuse. But between Bo Nix and Cam, both those guys could be viewed as the most valuable one. So for me, Matty, it's going to be razor thin between all three of them. And I couldn't tell you. It depends on what day of the week I wake up on which one I'd want. That's actually how close it is for me, legitimately.
Yeah, I'm not too far off from that. I think he would kind of fall in that spot for me as well. And I think for anyone listening that wants to make the decision or maybe has to make that type of decision, you got to ask yourself this. You got to look at two stats and to ask yourself if you believe they're repeatable from Bo Nix. Stat number one, 92 carries, the fifth most amongst quarterbacks, and 29 passing touchdowns. Those two led him to a top eight quarterback season. If those carries drop to 75, if those passing touchdowns drop to 21, you know, then I think you want to settle with a guy like Ward who could have a little bit more of a rocket ship to the value. But if you believe that those are sustainable year to year, then I think you got to stick with Nix. But where I do think you'll see a tremendous jump in the Cam Ward value will not come on day one of the NFL draft when he's selected. It could very well come on day two when the Titans take whichever one of these receivers fall there early round two. Let's say if it's Golden or Egbuka or if it's Trey Harris, whoever they decide to take with that early second round pick, because I'm very much in the camp that could be exactly where they look and double tap, just like that Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, bop, bop. And I think if the receiver has enough hype there at the, 35th pick, 34th pick, wherever it is, then we'll see the Cam Ward just absolutely explode when the two guys are holding their jerseys next to each other. I mean, we saw it last year. Caleb went 101. The stock was high, very, very high. Then they went Odunze in that first round, and everyone was like, all right, here we go. It was a wrap. He's a top five guy. He's a top 10 guy. He's a top whatever guy. I think we could see a lot of like that type of thing happen with Cam Ward too.
I can get behind that, Maddie. We're going to finish out the show here talking about your mock draft 3.0, SouthHarmonFF.com. You can go check it out yourself if you'd like. But there's a few, when I was reading through it, Maddie, I wanted to get your opinions on it. What made you mock these guys in the first round? Why are they here? I know we do mock draft Mondays. We haven't done it for a couple weeks. Attendance has been shit. Attendance has been shit. But that's fine. That is completely fine, Maddie. You got two wide receivers going in the first round, and one of them also is labeled as a cornerback as well. Give me your thoughts about it, and they're at very different ends of the draft. You had Travis Hunter going at 4 to your Patriots. You touched on that. I think we're definitely trying to speak this shit into existence. Both of us want this to happen very badly. Yep. And then, interesting enough, Tet McMillan followed all the way to pick 30. Listen, I didn't do this, Mark, okay? So don't give me the hate. Tet McMillan falls all the way to pick 32 to my Philadelphia Eagles, Maddie. Talk about it. Why was it, what made you think in your head Tet's going to fall and there's not going to be another wide receiver that takes that place, right? That kind of placeholder where people are like, oh, we're going to get Matthew Golden, wide receiver 1, or we're going to get Emeka Buka, or we're going to get Luther Burden. What made you come up with this when you're doing your mock draft and go, wide receiver at 32, this is how far Tet's going to slide, and then, of course, Howie Roseman would be the guy that goes, we're done with this shit. We don't need a wide receiver, but we're fucking taking him.
So, pulling back the curtain on my process. My process with the mock draft is not what I think I would do if I was in this position. It's not what I think the best fit is. It's what I'm hearing. It's what, the people around the NFL are hearing, yeah. The people that know the most, what they're hearing. I try to find patterns. I try to do a little digging myself in terms of any little nugget that I can get, trying to read between the tea leaves, kind of put myself in the psychology of the thought process that you can kind of see playing out in front of you. And when I did that, what first and foremost, I was not all that far off from what a lot of these insiders have. They're only having 2 other than Hunter. So 3, if you want to count Hunter, wide receivers. So the thought is that the NFL this year is discounting the receivers. And I do believe the more I dig into this class that, this is no shade to Jaden Higgins or Jalen Knoll or Trey Harris, because I do think they're solid players, but I do think we're propping up. I think the NFL draft industrial complex has taken off in full force, and we're forcing these players into these round one thoughts and these round one possibilities. And the NFL is just going to tell us that that's not correct. They did it last year with the running backs. This time last year, there was a lot of talk that, Trey Benson's going to go a lot higher. And what about all these players? And it turns out, no, the NFL told us no. One was taken in the second round, and then we saw a smattering in day 3. So I think we see a lot of that with the receivers early part this year. Now, in the mock 2, I did have all the receivers go first thing in round 2. So it's not that it falls too much. Now, as far as Tet goes, specifically, for me, Tet is looking like a faller amongst the NFL draft circles because, again, there hasn't been a player taken that high in the draft that ran a slower than a 4.5 wide receiver since Mike Evans, and I don't believe Tet McMillan is Mike Evans. We've talked about his separation issues, and what I keep hearing, and I don't understand how this can work. Maybe you can help me, Mike. I keep hearing this guy is so smooth for his size, but he's not fast. How can you be smooth in the NFL if you're not quick? How can you be smooth in the NFL if you're not fast? Because smooth and not fast, there's another term for that. It's called lumbering. It's not what people are calling it. Again, Tet is a first round caliber receiver. I believe that he does go in the first, but I think the slide is on. We saw Matthew Golden kind of shoot up in terms of the mock draft circles. I'm not there yet because I think there's a lot of red flags in his game. And I don't think the 4.29 or the 4.29, is that what he ended up with? 4.33, whatever it ended up being. Yep. I don't believe that 40 time is going to be enough. I think the NFL has learned from mistakes of the past, the Henry Ruggs, the John Rosses, because again, Xavier Worthy was not that. We all were saying this last year. I know me and you talked about it personally. Xavier Worthy was not that. We believed he was more, and he proved to be a little bit more. Then you start looking at the actual draft, and as the dominoes start to fall, and me just kind of keeping the keep it simple, stupid approach, the running back class is fucking stacked. If you're the Broncos and you're deciding between a receiver like Tet McMillan, Matthew Golden, or you can get a Travion Henderson, an Amarian Hampton, I tend to think they're going to go with the better player. They don't have a running back in the house that they need. Sean Payton was at the combine saying his two biggest needs, they were going to be aggressively chasing tight end and running back. They had a tight end fall into their lap, which leaves them to be aggressive at the running back position. Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram. This system thrives off productive backs, and a guy like Travion, who I did mock here in my 3.0, makes all the sense in the world. And then you just keep trickling it down. I could see the Packers take him at 23. I could kind of see the Texans, but they need offensive line, and there's offensive linemen available. I could see the Commanders taking them there, but again, the Commanders don't need to take a receiver in the first round if they don't love him. And now you're just talking about splitting hairs between, you know, pick 23 to pick 32. And then Howie Roseman, and especially with the Philadelphia Eagles, and as an Eagles fan, you could definitely speak to this. They have been trying to find a big-bodied receiver to pair with Slim Reaper and A.J. Brown for years.
Yes.
It was Julio Jones. It was Johnny Wilson in the draft late. They continue. There was more, too. My brain keeps saying Dorial Green Beckham. That was 100 years ago. It's not.
It was. That was a long, long time
ago. Long time ago. But even in this recent cluster of 3 or 4 years, they've continued to bring in. They must see something philosophically with their offense where they want a big body receiver. And you get a guy like Tet at 32, you could put him in there. There's no pressure for him to really succeed. And yet, if they do want to get off A.J. Brown and move on from that asset, now they're still in line to have two quality wide receivers. So it just made so much sense. And at this point, it's not all – surprises happen every year in this thing. And sometimes you got to go – could I see him going 30 to the Bills? Sure. But 32 to the Eagles would be spicy.
It would be very spicy. Maddie, listen, I still like Tet. And you summed up this whole wide receiver class outside of Travis Hunter. Absolutely perfect.
He's our hero. He is. I mean, he could be the hero that saves us.
There's a bunch of solid guys. There's a bunch of goods, as Steve Smith said, a bunch of goods, not greats, right? And Tet is the one everybody's pointed to forever. And when we put on the film of him, I went, okay, he's good. He's not great. Like, he's okay. Like, he's got some issues separating. He definitely does. He's very nice after the catch. He's got great size. You like his contested catch ability, his ability to high point the ball. But I do have big concerns about, can you get away from NFL DBs? And we're seeing over the last couple of years, some of these DBs that are coming in are, you know, 6'2", 6'3", fucking monsters, right? Like, it used to be Patrick Peterson was, like, the outlier. Like, these big physical fucking corners. Like, dudes who should have been safeties. And they're playing corner. Yeah, and they're running with people. So, you're starting to see some more of these guys come in. You know, you got a great one up there in New England, Christian Gonzalez. Like, absolute lockdown. Pat Sertan's another one. Like, these corners are getting better and better and more physical and better in man coverage. And the ability to play zone. If Tet can't actively separate for some of these dudes, what good is he to the quarterback? Because you can just put Mac Hollins out there and do the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
You can only pay Mac Hollins a couple $1 million a year and call it good. Right. Like, you can find the next one. People are talking about him like top 10 pick, like, which was absurd to me. So
order the Patriots was the most disrespectful ass shit I've ever seen about it.
The from like jump with Tet, like, I've always thought he's like, he feels like one of these wide receivers that would go in the 20s in like any other draft. Like, he really does. When I watched film last year and evaluating the wide receiver class, he's not on the level of Marvin Harrison was as a prospect or Malik Nabers. He wasn't as good as Roma Dunze. I got more feelings inside me watching Brian Thomas film and Xavier Worthy film than I did watching Tet film this past year. So I'm really talking about, like, dudes like the sixth best wide receiver maybe of last year's class if he was in that one. Mm-hmm. Like, he's in the range of Xavier Leggett and Keon Coleman and Ricky Pearsall and Ladd McConkey. Like, yes, can these guys hit? Can they be good? Can they be superstars? Yeah, they can. But just coming out, he wasn't in that range of some of these other guys that were locks. In reality, I'm going to give you, like, the range of wide receiver over the past that I saw Tet go into. And we've seen these guys go in the, like, same fucking range. Like, it just fits. Quentin Johnston. As much as we give him shit now, when they made that pick and you watch QJ film, QJ film also looks a lot like Tet film. If you really want to dive back into it, like, go watch his college production. You go, Pac-12 for Tet 2 years ago, but then Big 12 this past year, QJ in the Big 12, same kind of, oh shit, this looks a lot the same. I like when he gets the ball in his hands. He's big and he's physical and he's good after the catch. He doesn't always separate, though. He doesn't always get away from some of these nobody corners. So, like, we're talking QJ. What was he? 21st pick.
Yep.
Quentin Johnston in the 21st pick. Treylon Burks, 18th. A lot of the same shit. Yep. A lot of the same shit. Rashad Bateman, Kadarius Toney, 20 and 27. Like, those are the level of prospects that we're talking about. Now, people are screaming from the mountaintops. That's got a way better analytical profile than Kadarius Toney. Sure does. Definitely. Yeah. I'll give you that one. Was it that much better than Rashad Bateman, though?
No,
it wasn't. We'll go back even fucking farther here, Matty. How about 2020? Brandon Ayuk, Jalen Reagor. We can talk about it, too. Justin Jefferson was in that 20s range, but he had a lot of, like, red flags. Is he only a slot merchant, that kind of thing?
Well,
Jamar Chase was the whole thing.
It was just
who made that offense? Was it the receivers? Was it Joe Burrow? Was it, you know, Joe Brady? Like, Clyde who made this Blair. Thing? Yeah. Like, is this sustainable? Yeah. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That's a good one. N'Keal Harry, pick 32 to your Patriots. Kind of the same shit.
It's kind of the same shit.
He feels like a 20s or later wide receiver. So I don't think your pick 32 is egregious. I just really wanted to point it out because I was like, oh, look, Eagles. Thanks, man. Yeah. Thanks for the one up.
Well, the Eagles they're going to do this. There's a few names when I do this and have done this that continuously sniff around. It could be Tet, or it could be James Pierce, or it could be Nick Emmanuori. It's going to end up being, or I've seen some that have Walter Nolan. Roseman's just going to come away with a stud because when you put the pillars to win in place, you can just let the draft come to you and you don't have to panic. You could just not make the dumb pick. Yeah, you're going to let Jalen Carter fall in our range? Yeah, we're going to go up and get him. Yeah, okay, you want to let Nolan Smith fall? Fine, we'll take him. They continuously do. Last year, I mean, we're looking back on this, brother. And I know this isn't fantasy take, but the fact that they got Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell should have been illegal in all 50 states.
They got one exciting white.
And he is the exciting white.
And then one of the best corners in the NFL from, like, rookie jump. Absolutely, absolutely crazy. The other thing, last thing I wanted to talk about, in your mock 3.0, funny that I say mock 3.0, you also have three running backs in the first round. Not something I see a whole lot. You see a lot of twos. You see a lot of ones. You don't see many threes. Threes, Matt. You're getting aggressive with it. You had Ashton GT at 6 to the Raiders. You had Amarian Hampton at pick 12 to the Dallas Cowboys. Nice. And you had Travion Henderson to the Denver Broncos. We talked about them earlier in the show at pick 20. So talk about it. What led you to believe that we're going to get three running backs in the first round, which would be absolutely fucking great for our rookie drafts? Because, listen, we do a lot of deep dives in here and a lot of strategy. I'm here to tell you, if a running back's taken in the first round, even if it is Clyde Edwards fucking Hilaire, who we don't think belongs in there, they matter. They matter for fantasy football. Doesn't matter if it's dynasty or redraft. You want first round drafted running backs in the NFL because it's such a rare feat anymore. And those guys have almost an impeccable track record. Matty, while you talk about it too, I'm going to go back and look who the last first round running back was that was just a fucking turd burger, just right out the rip, who was just a shit lord, because it's not many. it's not many.
So for me, the breakdown here is, when does the run start? If the Cowboys take the first running back off the board, then I think that we're probably looking at two running backs taken. If there is not a running back selected past the Cowboys, so starting at 13, I think we might only get the one. Two is still on the table, though. Now, if we get the Raiders or the Saints or the Bears taking the first running back, I think that's when the run happens. Because at this point, the Cowboys have shown in the past they have no issues going running back over a different need. They did it in Zeke's rookie year, was at 2018, 2016, whatever that was.
Yeah, long, long time ago. Yep.
And they took him, which they could have gone Jalen Ramsey and Derrick Henry in the second, which could have changed everything.
2016.
So there you go. And they went Zeke, and Zeke was very, very good. So I do think that they are in line to take a running back. And if the run begins early, earlier than their pick, at that point, you can't just sit back and wait to the mid-second, because you don't know when the run's really going to get going. Because you look at the teams that could take a running back, and this year specifically, there are numerous running backs that have graded as round one talents, not just by me, not just by a couple people in the fantasy world, in the NFL circles. We're hearing it from teams' big boards that they have Ginty as a top five player, Omarion Hampton as a top 12 player in the draft. So when these teams start looking at best player available, you have to think that the Raiders will think about it, the Saints will think about it, the Bears, the Cowboys could go after running back, the Bengals. I know they have Chase Brown, but if they fall in love with one of these kids, they're not that far off from needing a running back. The Broncos, the Steelers, the Chargers, they could all perceivably go with a round one running back. And then it's going to sound crazy. People might lose their shit, but it's unlikely. But you can't count the Rams or the Chiefs out from taking a round one running back. I know it's unlikely. But if you're sitting with Omarion Hampton on the board and you're like, yeah, you know, we got Blake Corum and we got, you know, Kyren Williams, I'm sorry to tell you guys, and I know they've been, you know, one of them's been really good in Dynasty, Omarion Hampton is far more talented than those guys. Far more talented. And then the Chiefs, who I know they continuously brought in 85 running backs this year, but look at who they were, right? Look who they did. They brought in Kareem Hunt back. They still have Isaiah Pacheco. And then it was, what's that kid's name? Khalil Herbert, right? Khalil Herbert was the other. No. The guy from San Francisco that can't stay healthy, Elijah Mitchell. You know, again, you see a Travion Henderson available there. It's in the run, in the offensive line talent has been diminished. The run started a lot earlier on offensive line. Again, these teams are going to look at their boards, and they're going to be subject to the boards. Another team I did not bring up that could absolutely go running back in round one is the Commies.
Definitely.
The Commies might not want to use Eckler and Brian Robinson when you can get a guy that can do it all. We saw what that did for the Packers. We saw what it did with the Packers. We saw what it did with the Eagles. They brought in a guy that could do it all. Then he wasn't such a tell when you had A.J. Dillon. Everyone knew what the hell was going to happen when A.J. Dillon was on the field as opposed to Aaron Jones. Right? Everyone knew what the hell was going to happen with the Eagles when Kenny Gainwell come in. You couldn't disguise it. You bring in a guy that can do it all. You change your offense.
I like it when you talk about this, Maddie, right? Because there's a little bit of bleed over, right? I think this is what there's a little bit of bleed over on both ends. We talked about the wide receivers right there. Last year's wide receiver class was so good. So good.
Unbelievable, yeah.
So there's a little bit of bleed over going into this 25 class for a lot of people, draft analysts, fantasy Dynasty, there's a little bit going like, man, we just look at how good the wide receivers were. I'm like, damn, yeah, got to push these dudes up. You know what I mean? Like, Matthew Golden, first round, lock it in. Let's go.
Right.
Not really the case. All right. They're not that good. But on the contrary, last year's rookie running back class was so fucking bad.
Yeah.
So fucking bad that there's a lot of fatigue, like when it comes to mocking these talented running backs in the first round or getting premium draft capital and how excited people are getting about them, even though we just saw running backs win fantasy leagues for people left and right. I think when it comes to the rookies, though, we're going back to we didn't get anything from Jonathan Brooks except another torn ACL in the same knee. Trey Benson was poo-poo. Blake Corum didn't do shit. darling Jalen Wright couldn't even get on the field.
Even when he had the game to himself, he didn't pop.
Didn't do anything. It was like we had Bucky Irving and that was it. That's all we got. We got Bucky Irving and he was the Lord and Savior for everybody in this rookie class. Everybody else stunk, so I think there's a lot of bleed over. And to answer the question about first-round running backs, Maddie, if this happens and you have three fantasy dynasty managers, my simplest advice, you need to pay attention, and you're going to want these guys for sure. The last time we had a running back drafted in the first round who didn't really do shit or pop and was an actual poo burger for us, 2018, which coincidentally, Maddie, was the last time we saw three running backs taken in the first round as well, and it was one Mr. Rashad Penny.
Yep.
5 fantasy points that year. Wah, wah, wah. Even Sony Michel with his degenerative knees had moments, had big-time moments for the Patriots in his rookie year. And, of course, number 2 overall pick, Saquon Barkley. I think he finishes RB3 on the season.
Unbelievable. That year,
won people redraft championships as a rookie, so what a stud. But I went all the way back to 2011, Matty. Rashad Penny's the only first-round running back that was an absolute turd burger. We get back to 2010, which, I mean, we're getting old, man. But I remember these names. C.J. Spiller. Ryan Matthews.
I remember, yeah.
Javid Best.
Yep.
Javid Best was the truth, man, before all them concussions hit, too.
Before he got went airborne. Remember, he was sent like 40 feet in the air. It felt like landed on his back of his head. Awful. Yes, he was. But he was electric, man. Electric. Man,
back in the day where we used to get 3 first-round running backs on the reg, you know, 2009, we also had Knowshon Moreno, Donald Brown, and Beanie Wells.
Beanie Wells, baby.
Beanie Wells. Yeah. So, listen, 3 running backs go in the first round. Simplest advice, draft them. You want them. You want to take them. They're probably going to be pretty good. They got a great track record if an NFL team decides to take you in the first round. Listen, longevity may not pay out for you, which is the dynasty game that we're playing, right? Najee Harris was a first-round pick. First couple years, you weren't mad about it. Now everybody clowns his ass.
Right.
Clowns him. Right. But the first couple years, you were doing all right. You were feeling pretty good about that Najee Harris pick. The only one that the same year, you went, oh, no. Travis Etienne, when he didn't play at all his rookie year,
he had
a Liz Frank or broke his foot or whatever the fuck that was.
Open the door for my guy, James Robinson.
James Robinson. Open the door back up. Back to relevance.
2 years we'll always have, Mr. Robinson.
Maddie, less than a month, we will be live streaming the NFL draft, just in case anybody's wondering. It's happening again. Yeah. All three days of the NFL draft, Thursday night, Friday night, and then Saturday, when no one cares. We'll be here to give you all the picks, rounds 4 through 7. We're Iron Men. We stay through the whole fucking thing. We're not leaving. Maddie, what are we playing for the song tonight, bud?
What are we playing for the song tonight? So I haven't really been dabbling too much into the new music, except for in one genre. And I'm going to go with it. I'm going to go with it. It's been pop. You know, I'm a girl dad. Got 3 girls. I've been playing a lot of this music and been into it lately. So we're going to go with a little Pink Pony Club tonight.
Pink Pony Club?
By Chaperone.
What? What the hell is going on? All right. Pink Pony Club it is. We're doing it. Fine. Fuck it. Might be all right.
That might have brought your spirit down a little bit. I'm gonna talk about one last thing before we get out of here.
Pick me up, Maddie. Pick me back
up. My favorite one of my favorite picks in Mock 3.0. Again, go check it out at southharborff.com.
Give it to us.
36 pick overall, second round. Jacksonville Jaguars select Luther Burden III to be Chris Godwin in the Liam Cohen offense.
Ooh, nice pairing. I like that one.
Dirt McGirt.
Hey, you did all right. All right, you picked yourself back up from Pink Pony Club. Congratulations. I like that one. That's nice. That's nice. Just gobble up that second round Luther Burden. You need that underneath guy. You need that yak monster to go with Brian Thomas, the alpha. Nice pairing. I think Luther Burden could thrive. Hey, good for T-Law too, man.
Now, let's get to Pony Club.
Let's get to Pink Pony Club. That's going to do it for us. We'll see y'all back here same time, same place next week. We're out of this thing. Peace. God, what have you done? You're a pink pony girl, and you dance at the club. Oh, mama.
Tennessee or Santa Monica. You've been too good to me. Won't make my mama proud. It's gonna cause a scene. She sees her baby girl. I know she's gonna scream. I can hear your southern draw a thousand miles away saying, God, what have you done? You're a pink pony girl and you dance at the club. Oh, mama, I'm just having fun on the stage in my heels. It's where